She has spent in her life 40 years of her life in Brazil, and I suppose Brazil is more like home now. But one thing I like about her, she never lost her Arkansas accent. Amen. And I feel at home around Sister Alvear. Amen. And I'm not going to say a lot about her because she probably want to talk about some things herself. And we don't want to tie up all the time. We want her to take her liberty. She's going to come up here for a while, and then we'll take a little break. And then I think she's going to show us some slides and some things going on in their ministry. Everybody say, God bless Sister Alvear. Come right on up. Amen. Amen. It's a pleasure to have you with us tonight. Amen.
And praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
I'm so glad to be here. And this is my favorite place, but you all didn't know that. Every time I have a chance in Brazil, I always have it tuned in. And I don't always have time to answer, but I like to see what's going on because it keeps me in touch with the American church.
Amen, amen.
I want to say that it is an honor and a privilege to be here. This is the first time that I have ever been in church in Connecticut. So and I apologize for my scratchy voice. A couple of weeks ago, I was up in the jungle area. And then I traveled to South Brazil, where it's very cold right now. And then we made this trip to the States. My poor throat doesn't know if it's hot or cold. But I'm glad we serve a Jesus that never changes. God is so good. I was praying today as I was on the airplane. Most people generally do pray on airplanes. And I said, Lord, now your children is going to be there tonight. And others are going to be tuned in. And you know, but I don't know what they need. See, we serve a Jesus that knows everything. He knows when we're happy. He knows when we're sad. He knows when we're up. He knows when we're down. He just knows all about us. So I was praying on the plane, and the Lord spoke to me, and He said, tell some experiences that will inspire their faith. So I'm going to tell you some little experiences tonight, but I want to say at the very beginning that I take no honor, no glory, because if anything has been done, it's Jesus that does it. I guess of all of the missionaries, I am the least talented person. I'm not talented. You would not want to hear me sing. My children are all singers, but they make faces when I sing. So I don't want you to make any ugly faces. But tomorrow, during the day after lunch, sometime Brother Alvear is going to be here, and he is a tremendous singer. And Brother Rutledge is going to record some. And if you're around any time and you'd like to meet Brother Alvear, and our son Michael's with him. Now, for those of you that don't know us, you'll see some of our pictures in just a little while. We have an international family. I remember one day a friend of ours came and she said, missionary, could you give some English classes to a friend of mine that's going to have to take some tests? She was studying to be something. And I said, yes. And in Brazil, it's custom when your children wake up in the morning, they always go to their mother and their daddy, and they say, blessing. And you say, God bless you. So in the course of giving these English classes, our son, Raul Jr., came through the living room, and he said, blessing, Mother. I said, God bless you, Raul Jr. It wasn't long till Andrew came, and Andrew is not white or he's not black. He's, what would we say? He's just in between. And he said to me, he said, "Blessing, Mother." And I said, "God bless you." And it wasn't long till Michael came. If you see him tomorrow, Michael is very dark. And he said, "Blessing, Mother." I said, "God bless you, Michael." And so when the lady left my house, she called the lady that had sent her to the house. And she said, "I thought you told me that lady was a missionary." And she said, "Oh, she is." She said, "Well, how many husbands has she had?" Because not a one of them looked alike. But what she didn't know, they're all adopted but one. But we love them all. They're all our babies. They're grown tonight, but they're still our babies. And we love them very much. And we're happy that they are in the work of the Lord. And some of them are doing great works for the Lord. But 9 years ago, we moved to Northeast Brazil. And with us, half of our children moved to Northeast Brazil. And the other half stayed in South Brazil to help our oldest son, Brother Raul Jr. So the oldest one that moved up there with us, his name is Arley. And he's the one we're training to take over the Northeast Brazil work. And I heard, we lived up above the church. We was in a little church building at that time, and we had a little tiny apartment up above. And I heard my son Arley saying, "Oh yes, Mother will. Of course, just give me the date." And I'm thinking, what will I do? So it wasn't long till Arley came upstairs and he said, "Mother, there was a Trinity pastor come by here and he wants you to speak at his ladies' meeting." And I said, "You would do it." So I said, "Okay." So he gave us a date. So the day of the ladies' meeting in Brazil, ladies' meetings are different than here in America because brothers and sisters go to the ladies' meetings. It would be almost offensive for our brothers not to come to protect us, you know. So your meeting is full with brothers and sisters, whether it's a ladies' meeting or a regular meeting. And so that day we took two small bus loads of people over to this church. We did not know anybody. I'd never seen them before. And when I got out of the car, the pastor was standing by the gate of his little church. And he said, "Missionary, we want to talk to you." And I thought, oh, they must have found out that we're oneness. So I followed him up some little stairs and got up to this little office. And there sat maybe 10 or 12 of his preachers there. And I thought, oh, I wonder what they're going to ask me. So they said, "Sit down, missionary." So I sat down. And they said, "We have some questions for you." I said, "Oh." So I was waiting, you know, for some kind of shocking questions. And he said, "Missionary, does your church believe that Jesus heals?" And I said, "Oh, yes, we believe that Jesus heals." And he said, "How long have you known that Jesus heals?" And I stopped and I looked at him and I said, "I can't remember a time, Brother Rutledge, that I didn't know that Jesus heals. That's all I've ever known, that Jesus heals." And he said, "Oh, missionary, what great knowledge you have." I said, "Oh, well, thank you." He said, "We have come from a certain group," and he named the group, "and we left this group of people because we were reading in the Bible that Jesus heals, and the organization that we belong to does not believe that Jesus heals. So we have started a new organization, and we believe that Jesus heals." And I said, "Oh, well, that's wonderful. We've always known that Jesus heals." And so we talked just a few little things, and that was the main thing they wanted to know. Did I have this knowledge that Jesus heals? So I followed them down to the ladies' meeting. Now, I told you, ladies' meetings are very different there than in the States. And on the platform was a group of ladies that were ladies' leaders in different churches. And on the other side were the pastors of these churches. And so they observe what their ladies do and what's presented there. And the meeting was going along real sweet and wonderful. And in Brazil, we don't close our doors. Everything is open. People wander in and out. It's a different custom than in the States. And in walked a little lady. She was Catholic. And she had one arm that was visibly shorter than the other arm. And I saw her just walk in, and the pastor, the little lady was up saying something, and the pastor went over to where I was at, and he said, "Missionary, do you believe that Jesus could lengthen that lady's arm?" And I said, "Oh, Jesus can do anything." And the pastor jumped up, and he stopped the ladies' meeting, and he got behind the pulpit. He said, "The missionary said that Jesus can heal this lady. Come up for your arm to grow." Well, it's one thing to say he can, and it's another thing when you see him put to the test. But see, God can do anything. So they gathered around, and the pastor motioned for me to come stand beside him. He opened up the little door behind his pulpit, and he got this humongous bottle of olive oil. And my son, Arlay, was standing beside of me, and I have a little humorous nature sometimes. And I said to my son, I said, "He has enough oil to heal Brazil." And Arlay said, he's more serious. He said, "Mother." So we began to pray for this little lady, and I was had my eyes closed, and I said, "Oh, Jesus, please do it. Please, Jesus, please." And I just said, "Pray," and all of a sudden that pastor, he poked me on the shoulder. He said, "Missionary," he said, "open your eyes to see her arm when it grows." Now, I must confess, it was not my faith. But it was that little pastor's faith. And I saw that little lady's arm grow with my own eyes. And our people that were with us, they were so excited because, you know, we're Pentecostal. And they just got up and started running around that church. And that little pastor, you know, he come from a denominational little group of people. And he didn't know what was going on. And he looked at me and he said, "Well, I'm going with them." And all of a sudden, his people started going. And they started worshiping the Lord. But it's written in God's Word that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't know what you may need tonight, but I know a Jesus that nothing is impossible to Him. Nothing is hard for Him to do. Hallelujah. He made us, and He can fix us because He knows how. When I was a young girl, I went to Brazil when I was just barely 18 years old. When I was 19 years old, we had gone into a little village where no missionaries had ever been. And there was a group of preachers that were with me. They were young preachers that were learning. And I told them, I said, "Well, what we will do, we will have service under the tree. You're not always invited to people's homes, especially if they don't know you." So we went around, we divided up into groups, and we went around to every little house in that village, and we told them that we would have a little service. They had no idea what a service was because no preacher had ever been there. No missionary had ever been there. No Christian had ever been there. All they knew about was the priest that would come every once in a while and the witch doctor. That's all they knew. And in the visitation, I went into a home of a little lady that was bedfast. And I invited her to come and be under the tree with us. She said, missionary, she said, I cannot walk. I said, Jesus can heal you. She said, what are you? Are you a witch doctor? I said, oh no. The Jesus I serve is the one that made the sun and the moon, the stars. He can do anything. And she said, well, how would I get there? I said, oh, I'll ask some of the preachers to come and get you. And we borrowed a chair. She didn't have a chair at her little humble abode, but we borrowed a chair from one of the other houses, and we set her there. And she listened to the Word of God for her very first time. We cannot hardly imagine what that would be like, because most of us, in some way or the other, we have known of Jesus almost all of our lives. But to her, it was a new story. A new day was being born in her life, and she felt the presence of a God she knew nothing about. She sat there and listened to the whole service. When they were ending the service, the pastor said to me, missionary, would you like to say anything? Now, sometimes the Holy Ghost surprises us, because if we meditate what we're going to say, we don't always say it. And all of a sudden, I just looked at that lady, and that compassion, the Holy Ghost compassion, just came over me. And I said, little lady, it's written in God's Word that with His stripes we are healed, and you can get up and walk. And she's stood up, and I could tell she was shaking, and all of a sudden she felt the presence of the Lord. And then she just started walking. I mean, just like she was just had always walked. And she started going around the crowd, and it wasn't long till she wasn't walking anymore. She was running around the crowd, and she was pointing to me, and these are the words that she was saying. The missionary's God has healed me. And I don't even know His name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you and I tonight, we know the precious name of Jesus. That is why our lips should tremble with praise. Our hearts should beat with joy. Hallelujah. Our hands should clap our hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Not only do we know His name, but we have been baptized with His Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you haven't been baptized with His Spirit, you can be baptized tonight. The baptizer's here. I said the baptizer's here. The healer's in the house. Hallelujah. He that can do anything is in our midst tonight. One of our presidents of Brazil, his name is Fernando Collor, and he's the ex-president. He was several years ago our president, and he is from the city that we live in. And a few weeks ago, this well-dressed lady and someone else walked in with her. And one of the ladies of the church came to me and said, missionary, do you know who that lady is? I said, no. She said, she's President Collor's wife. I said, oh? And she listened to our service. Now, this is a lady that knows practically nothing of God, but very, very rich. She came back to another service. And then to another service. And last Saturday night, a week ago, she was at our all-night prayer meeting. You know what she told me? I sat down to talk with her. She said, missionary, I've had everything that money can buy. I live in mansions. Her chauffeur brings her to church. She has an imported car. She has butlers and bakers and everything you can imagine, the way the rich people live. She she said, but I've never had what I feel here. She said, I've never had peace. See, money can buy a lot of things, but it cannot buy what you and I feel tonight. Money can buy us a home, it can buy us a car, but it cannot help us sleep at night. But what we have is the peace of God that passes all understanding. And some of you may think, Sister Alviar, is it all victory in Brazil? No, we have our battles just like you have. I remember many years ago, and our life has been threatened many times, but a witch doctor came to me, and he said to me, he said, missionary, I'm going to kill you. I said, oh? Well, he was a big man. At that time, I didn't weigh what I weigh tonight. I was a young girl. And he said, I'm going to kill a black chicken. That's what they do in their meetings, you know, their witchcraft. And he said, and when I drink its blood, you're going to die. He said, I hate you. I looked at him. I was no match for that big man. I said, only if your God is stronger than mine. That was over 38 years ago. Where that man threatened my life, tonight stands a large Jesus name, oneness, apostolic church. Because we serve a God that's all powerful. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now my children tell me, Mother, you need to be more afraid. The bandit met me on the street. It was getting dark in one of the villages. And he put his gun to my stomach. And he said, I'm going to kill you. I said, I don't think so. He said, why don't you think so? I said, because between your gun and my stomach is the angel of the Lord. Amen. And he looked to see if he could see him. He told me, he said, I don't see anything. I said, have you ever seen a dead angel? See, the Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. There is a power that is greater that's in us tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And it doesn't have to be in Brazil. My friend in Arkansas got in her car, and in the car was a bandit. And he put his gun to her head. And she had just come from a red-hot prayer meeting. You know what she did? She just put her hand on his head and started talking in tongues. And you know what the bandit did? He said, ma'am, I'm getting out. I'm getting out. I'm getting out. See, the Bible has promised us protection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we cannot be afraid because greater. Greater. Everybody say greater. Say greater. I have a greater power. You have a greater power. The power is not ours, but it belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. See, the devil, you know what he tells you? He says, you can't live for God. You can't live for God. You can't get a blessing. You can't receive your healing. Now, he's a liar. So why do you stop to listen to him? He's never told the truth. And you know, you hear saints of God say, oh, I'm so beat down, and the devil's done this, and the devil's done that. He is not our friend. I said, he's not our friend. I went to a church one night. I don't know if it was really right whether they did this or not, the way they did it, but they swept him out the door. I said, at least he knows he wasn't welcome there. See, he's on one team and we're on the other team. You can't play on both teams. It's one or the other. And we're on Jesus' team. Aren't you on Jesus' team? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I felt like that somebody needs something from the Lord. Now, I am not an accomplished speaker, but I'm just simple enough to know that if I read something in God's Word, He'll do it. He'll do it. I have no doubt because He's God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why does Sister Alviar believe this? You listen to me. I went to Brazil when I was 18 years old. I didn't belong to any organization. Who would have had an 18-year-old kid? And a girl at that. But I said, Jesus called me, and I'm going. So a preacher said to me, what do you think you're going to do there in Brazil? I said, I don't know. But Jesus told me to go. And I just started telling people about Jesus. And today, I'm a very happy old woman. I have a wonderful husband. I have wonderful children. And they're all serving God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I know tonight that I came to represent Brazil, but you live a long ways from Brazil, and the devil may tell you, well, in Brazil people are hungry, but what about here in America? There are hungry people here. A few years back, I was on a Southwest plane. I was flying to California with some ladies. We were going to do a ladies' conference, and our plane landed in Phoenix, Arizona, and was going to change the pilots, the stewardess. And this one stewardess came to where we were sitting, and she looked at us. She said, are you ladies the laying on hands type? See, they know. And we said, yes, we're the laying on hands type. She said, would you all lay your hands on my head and pray for me? And my friend said, right here on the plane. And the lady said, I'm getting off. We're changing stewardess here. She said, I'll lay your hands on my head right here on the plane. And right there on a Southwest plane, we prayed for that stewardess. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there's hungry people right here on our street corners. We may look and say, oh, they're not like Brazil, Sister Alviar. The longing, the hurting inside a heart is just alike all over the world. When we got off the plane that year in California, the pastor's wife met us at the airport. Now listen to this, if you don't think people are hungry. And we drove a few miles, and the pastor's wife, her name is Sister Smith, she said, well, you ladies must be thirsty and wanting to go to a restroom. She stopped at one of those gas stations that have just a little bit of everything. And we went in the restroom. And a friend of mine, by the name of Sister Burris, I was picking at her. And we didn't know anybody else was in the bathroom except us. And all of a sudden, this lady come out, and she looked at us. And we all had our hair up. We all had our long dresses on. And she looked, and she said, "Well, you ladies all look alike." We must look funny. And so we talked to her a little while. And then we just, you know, everyone went their own way. And we drove 50 miles on down the road. And Sister Smith said, "I'm going to stop here at this fruit stand. And I'm going to buy you ladies some good California fruit." So she stopped her car. And lo and behold, the car in front of us got out that same lady that was at the gas station. And she looked at us again, and we looked at her, and she said, "Are you all following me, or am I following you all?" And we talked to her a few minutes and told her why we was in California, and she asked the same question the stewardess did. She said, "Would you ladies happen to be the laying on hands type?" We said, "Yes, we're the laying on hands type." Now, this lady, I don't think she was over 35, 40 at the very most. She looked at us and she said some of the saddest words I've ever heard. She said, "I'm dying with brain cancer." She said, "Where I go for treatments, there's some believers that go and pray for my other friends." She said, "But I don't know any believers. I don't have anybody to pray for me." She said, "Would you ladies pray for me?" We said, "Right here on the side of the road." She said, "Right here on the side of the road." Right there in front of that fruit, where they were selling fruit, we began to have a Pentecostal prayer meeting praying for that lady. Hallelujah, hallelujah. See, there are hungry people in our America today. It's not only across the seas, but it's right here where we live. There's people that are reaching for God. And God is saying to us today the same thing that He said to the early church. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He has commissioned every one of us to go knock on doors. Brazil, we don't knock on doors. We clap our hands. That's their custom. He has commissioned every one of us to go tell somebody, "I have found what you're looking for. I have found it. I want to share it with you. What you need, I have got it. My son, Raul Jr., I'm going to tell him about you all." I mentioned several times the Good News Cafe to him, but I'm going to mention the church. And he was in the States one year, and he was in Indiana, and he was traveling to Illinois. And there came a snow. He had never driven in the snow because it doesn't snow in Brazil. And so a pastor and his brother came and said, "We'll drive for you, Raul Jr." And it was around midnight or so, and Raul Jr. said, "I'm so hungry." And they said, "Well, Raul Jr., this time of the night in these kind of conditions, there's not very many places open. And this time of the night, it's not a very good time, you know, to go eat." But they pulled in a truck stop and sat down. And the Holy Ghost said to my son to witness to the waitress. Now, she looked like a little go-go girl. He told me about it later. Her dress way up here, and she just didn't look like she had ever heard of God or anything. And so he said to the pastor, he said, "Tell her about Jesus." And the pastor said, "Raul Jr., you don't know what kind of person she might be." But God kept telling him, "Tell her about Jesus. Tell her about Jesus. Tell her about Jesus." So when they went to pay the bill, Raul Jr. said, "We're apostolic. And I'd like to invite you to church." And the waitress just looked at him. And he said, he thought, well, she must not have ever heard that word, apostolic. And he said, ma'am, do you know what apostolic is? Right there standing by the cash register, she began to weep. She said, I'm a backslider. She said, I got up this morning and I told God, if there's ever any hope for me to ever be saved, send somebody before this day is over. And one soul, the Bible said, is worth the wealth of all of this world. You could gain Rockefeller's wealth, and it would be nothing in comparison to one soul that you would win for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. My throat may be a little scratchy from the difference of the weather, but I want you to know Jesus is in this building. One night about midnight, probably 16 years ago, somebody came and they was literally beating our door down, and they was pounding so loud. And I ran and opened the door, and there stood one of our church ladies and her sinner husband, and in her arms was her newborn baby, and it was dead. And she was screaming, my baby is dead, missionary. My baby's dead. And her husband was saying, let's take it to the hospital. And she was saying, no, we want the missionary and the bishop to pray. And when Brother Alviar and I started praying for that dead baby, and we prayed, and all of a sudden, I felt something move, and I looked at the baby, and life had come back into that child. See, there's nothing that Jesus can't do. That girl today is a beautiful young lady. Hallelujah. You may be in a situation. Your baby may not be dead, but your situation may seem just as desperate. But that Jesus said, give life again to that little baby, is here to impart life to you, is here to give you a blessing, is here to fulfill His word. Hallelujah. The billions of the people of the earth tonight, billions of people have never one time heard what we hear. Oh, Brother Rutledge, thank you for coming to this town. Thank you for coming. That there's a light in this town because millions sit in darkness. And how great is the darkness of the person that has never heard the name of Jesus ever mentioned. I've heard people say, and people sometimes want to argue the point and say that everybody's heard of Jesus. No, everybody's not heard of Jesus. There's millions. In Brazil, there's 100 Indian tribes that's never had the word Jesus ever translated into their language. That's why His name should never leave our lips. Jesus, 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 Jesus. How should they call upon Him in whom they've never heard? How should they preach unless they be sent? That's why missionaries need churches like this one. People that pray for us. I've been in situations when my life was in danger, and all of a sudden I would feel the quickening power of the Holy Ghost, and I would know that somebody was praying somewhere for me. Your prayers are so precious. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm about ready to close. I'm probably boring. But I have a little something I want to read. We have in Brazil 25 million children that roam the streets. That means 40% of Brazil's children are on the streets. The Brazilian government would not like to say this is truth, but it is. 4 children are killed every day by death squads. Why? Because this age on up, they're dangerous. They kill. They did not ask to be born and be a street child. America hears 90% of all the preaching of the gospel. There are 440 million people who do not have a sentence of the Bible in their language. Read it every day. Read it every day, saints. Amen. You have it from cover to cover. I remember going to a village one time, and I asked the lady we were visiting, I said, "Have you ever had a Bible?" She said, "Missionary, many years ago, someone came and gave us a book. It has the name of your Jesus in there, but I don't know if it's a Bible." She brought the book to me. It was only a songbook that someone had given her in passing. She did not know the difference. We are to take it in our arms tonight. We are to kiss the Bible. Yes. Say, "Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you. I could have been born in a third world country. I could have been born in a land where they worship other gods." A Buddhist lady told me, she said, "Missionary, there's not a lot of difference between Buddha and Jesus. They were both good men." I said, "Yes, Buddha had a lot of good things to say, but there's a difference." She said, "What is the difference?" I said, "Where Buddha was buried, he's still there. But where Jesus was buried, he is not there because he is risen." What greater proof do we need tonight to know that he is risen other than filling him in our souls? Seeing him redeem thousands of people. In Brazil, we have thousands of people baptized in Jesus' name. Thousands of people talking in tongues. We have churches that are being built all over the land of Brazil. God is doing the work. So I felt like telling you some of these experiences tonight. It may seem a little scatterbrained, but I felt like that somebody needed that. You may be going through things. You don't have to feel alone. He's closer than the clothes you have on. He's closer than the air you breathe. He's concerned about you. Okay, I'd like to introduce you to our family. This is Brother Alviar and myself. And this is a map of Brazil. You may wonder where we live in Brazil. If you see that little part way to your right, that's kind of out like a curve, we live in that area in the northeast of Brazil. Our children, some of them live in the south of Brazil. And the most of these slides here are from our area. I grew up in Brother Brian Taylor's church in Jacksonville, Arkansas. And he is the only pastor that I've ever had in all my life. And whatever's been done in Brazil, we owe first to God and second to having a good pastor. This is a map of the city where we live to get you a little idea of these are some of the villages of the Maceió City. Maceió City is the capital city of the state of Alagoas. This is our state flag. And this is our headquarters church in that area. You may want to notice it's a very, very large building. In fact, it's the biggest church that Brother Alviar and myself have ever built since we've been missionaries. God has blessed us in our old age with a beautiful, beautiful building and some beautiful, beautiful people. The complex you see to the left is office buildings and are where we bake our bread. This is a part of our family. There's Sister Rebecca. Her and Michael, but you'll see Michael, he's with Brother Alviar down this corner. They are twins. I've had them ever since they were 5 days old. Now, today I said something about Michael being a baby, our baby. He is not really the youngest, but he's always been a mama's baby. When he was about 2 years old, I found him in the bathroom and he was putting toothpaste all over him. And I said, Michael, what are you doing? And he said, I'm getting white like you, Mother. So he's always been a mama's baby. Rebecca, they are twins. Rebecca's married to Chad. Chad is from West Virginia. He also works with us in Northeast Brazil. This is our son, Raul Jr., and his wife, Michelle. The next one is our son, Alexander, and his wife, Mary, and their children. Down below is our son, Andrew, and his wife, Daniela, and their children. And Andrew and Alexander are also twins. There's Michael's wife, Marcella. We love very much Sister Marcella. She's just a real help. All of our daughter-in-laws are precious, but she just lives there with us. So she's there with us every day. This is our son, Eddie Ney, and his wife, Fabiana. They work full-time in the ministry. The one I said Brother Alviar is training to take over the work in North Brazil is the one in the middle. This is Brother Arley, his wife, Jelene, and their two children. Some of you that read on Good News Cafe, this is Sister Amy North, that works with us in Brazil. Of course, we call her our daughter. Up to the right is Brother Ryan and Sister Mady. When Ryan was 17 years old, his parents came to preach a youth camp in Brazil. Ryan had never prayed. His goal in life was to be a basketball player. But his parents invited him to come to Brazil, and he came. He did not come to pray. He came to see what was going on and probably look at girls and whatever that age. But and then they went back to the States. But one day my telephone rang, and his mother said, Sister Alviar, Ryan wants to come back to Brazil. I said, well, Sister Thompson, let him. She said, Ryan doesn't have the Holy Ghost. He's never even showed any interest all of his life in church or in God. I said, well, Sister Thompson, if I had a boy like that and he wanted to come to the mission field, I would send him and see what God would do. She said he would miss his senior year of school. I said, there's things a lot worse than missing your senior year of school, and that's losing your soul. She said, well, Sister Alviar, can you handle him? I said, well, I handle seven boys. That's besides the girls. So to make a long story short, she sent Ryan to Brazil to visit us. In the 6 months he stayed, he was baptized, he received the Holy Ghost, came back to the States and told the people everywhere he felt called to be a missionary. He went back to Brazil and married Sister Mady, and they work with us in Northeast Brazil and are doing a wonderful, wonderful work for the Lord. Amen. Down here on the corner, least but not last, that's our youngest, that's Dear Lay, and he's the only one that of the group of boys that's single. So if you have any girls, he's looking for a wife. The Lord has given us many messengers to help us spread the gospel throughout Brazil. These just happen to be some pictures I had that we made into this slideshow. These are some of our workers and their wives. Many of our preachers were once witch doctors. This is inside our headquarters church. It's pretty, isn't it? We're so thankful for what God has done. And this is going out the back door there at the headquarters church. Some of our people that are greeting the ones coming in and going out. These are pictures of people inside some of our churches. Let me tell you about Brazil. We have no color problem. I guess you've noticed that. We have no problem at all. Brazil is the least prejudiced country of the world. We live like heaven over there. We don't have fusses and fights. These are some of our people worshiping, praising the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to see all of these people? Hallelujah. Why do we show this? For you to see there's a real work. A real people, a real work. And some of you have heard us maybe mention on the Good News Cafe that the Lord gave our son, Raul Jr., a dream about some Assembly of God people. And he dreamed about, he was walking through this town called Arasaz, and three ladies came to him and said, "We don't have all the light, but you have light." And he got up and he said, "Mother, look on the map and see where there's a town called Arasaz in the state of Ceará, which is further on north from us." And I got a map and the internet. We couldn't find it anywhere. He went back down to where he lives in South Brazil. And he called me one day. He said, "Mother, I'm at the airport in the state of Ceará." I said, "Oh." He said, "I'm still looking for Arasaz." He said, "No one here at the airport's ever heard of it." He went to rent a car. He asked them, had they ever heard of this place? They said, "No." And the Lord spoke to him, said, "Go outside and say as loud as you can say, 'Has anyone ever heard of Arasaz?'" So he said, he went outside and he said that. He said there were some real nice businessmen dressed real in suits, and they just didn't say a word. He said, but there was just this old man leaning up against a post, and he said he didn't even really look right in the head. And the man turned around and he said, "Yes," he said, "it's 40 kilometers down the road. There's a place called Arasaz." So Raul Jr. went to this place, and when he drove in this little village, he met one of the ladies of his dream. And he saw her, and he jumped out of the car, and he said, I dreamed about you." And he began to tell her, and then she said, "Well, tell me, how was the other two ladies in your dream?" And he explained. And she said, "I know who that is," and took him to those ladies' houses. And after having services there several times, we went up there. This is our first baptismal service. Brother Raul Jr. baptized 15. God is good, isn't He? This is some of our people singing to the Lord. That's our sign choir dressed in blue. And some of our children singing to the Lord. Some of our people worshiping the Lord. That was Brother Alviar. When we moved to North Brazil, it's very, very different than South Brazil. It's very, very poverty stricken. In fact, the area where we live is the poor state of Brazil. There's hardly no work. The people, many die of hunger. And the Lord spoke to us, teach the people how to farm. Because if you give a fish to a person, they're back the next day for the other fish. But if you teach them to fish, then they can take care of themselves. So as our people begin to receive the Holy Ghost, the Lord made a way, and we're buying this land. We've already developed it. And we built this building here is across the street from that beautiful church where we built. And we call this our Arts and Crafts Center. And we took our people, those that were talented, we paid classes, and they learned how to make flowers, flower arrangements, vases, decorate. And we have bazaars. And in these bazaars, there's enough money comes in to take care of their families. That's great. These are some of the things they make to sell. It's amazing how these people work. All they needed was somebody to kindly push them. And then we begin to encourage them to save their money and begin to build their little houses. Isn't this awesome? This is Sister Yaya. These are some of the towels. In fact, she sent those towels with me. They're in St. Louis being sold tonight. That's the way she makes her money. This is some more of the houses there that our people have built with. Of course, we've helped them some, but much of the labor has been done by them. Sister Janet, she expressed her desire. She wanted to be a nurse. And one of the lady that was visiting us in Brazil, she said, I'll pay her school, her way through nursing school. So it's paid Sister Janet's way through nursing school. And there on our church property, we built this little place. So if anybody gets hurt and all the sick and whatever come around, and Sister Janet gives them their shots and bandages them up and fixes them up. And that's the way she makes her living. See, if people want to, they can.
That's right.
This was nothing, and we developed it with the help of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Why did we do that? Because we wanted to teach our people that God is beautiful.
Yes.
And God likes order.
Yes.
One of the ideals the Lord gave us to help another group of our people was to build fish ponds. And we have, these are three fish ponds, but we really have four. And we raised tilapia fish, a group of our brothers, and that's the way some of them support their families.
Great God.
Others are studying to be carpenters. Now, these are all views taken there, things our people have done.
Thank you, Jesus.
They're planting their gardens. And you would be surprised how much they love to do these kind of things. This fruit you see up here to your left, you do not have this in the States, but you have the flower. How many have heard of the passion flower? Okay, the passion flower, because of our climate in Brazil, it makes a fruit. This is the fruit that comes from the passion flower, and you make a drink out of it. In third world countries, we eat what's called cassava. That is cassava that you see down there below. It takes the place of a potato. Up there is a brother from Georgia, and him and Brother Alviar is drinking coconut milk. So some more of our gardens. You can see we really, really work, spiritually and naturally. God's people are not lazy people. These are some of the fruits they've grown. You might like to know what that yellow fruit is. Does anybody know what that is? That's right. Who said that?
Brother Rick.
Okay. Oh, from Trinidad. Okay. Wonderful. We have cashew trees. The fruit is very delicious. Now, you're going to see the process in one of the slides right here is what you do with the cashew nut. You break it off, you roast it, and then you eat it. You don't eat it before you roast it because it's poisonous. These are our fish. Everything about the fish is eatable except the little eyeball. These are some of the animals there. The geese, our little pigs, the rabbits. We teach them how to multiply their animals. And this is some more little lots that we bought that were, as money comes in and the people are able, we're going to develop for more things to help more families. And in Brazil, like all third world countries, the people we work with, they don't have cars. So this bus picks up over 80 people every Sunday to take to church. And we're not serious all the time. We have lots of fun time. That was on my birthday. And this is Brother Michael's project that some of you may meet him tomorrow. He has the bread store. They make over 4,000 pieces of bread a day. It's not wrapped. They go out into the villages and sell it. This is making the bread. This provides jobs for several other families. If you're not lazy, you stay. If you're lazy, you leave. Because everybody works. In bicycles, some of the guys go out and they sell bread like this. And this is in South Brazil. This is our land that, while even I'm here tonight, is being developed for our campground. These are some of our churches in Northeast Brazil, some of the village churches, for you to have an idea what village churches look like. You have many, many village churches in different areas. You have nice little churches. You have little humble churches. They all serve for the same purpose, is to gather in people for the Lord. This beautiful church is not in the north. This is Brother Raul Jr.'s headquarters church. That's in South Brazil. That's a Southern Brazil Bible school. This is the land we bought where you saw Brother Raul Jr. baptizing those people in the little village called Araçá. We bought this land, and since then, we dug the foundation. These are some of the people that's coming to our meetings. Those were the three sisters that Brother Raul Jr. dreamed about. And now we have the church ready to put the roof on.
Amen.
This is going up further into the north. This is close to the Amazon. We have churches with just thatch roofs, such as this church. These are some of the people. We give out clothes to the very, very poor in those areas. It's another one of the churches in that area with thatch roof. Most people do not like to go to these places. Very, very interior areas. Brother Alviar and myself are firm believers in Bible studies. We believe that if we can impart what we know in the hearts of our people, that after we are gone, they will continue on. So we have hundreds and hundreds of Bible classes. This is a Bible class at our home. This is Brother Marcelo that helps us translate Bible studies. Down there is Sister Amy teaching the children. And there is some of our ministers studying the Word of God. And this is my mother. Some of you read about her on the Good News Cafe. My greatest trial, but mother's greatest victory. She had a fatal stroke while she was visiting us in Brazil. She was bedfast for over 10 months. And we had to sit with her night and day. This was at her funeral, her casket, her flowers, and the cemetery. It was a very sad day in many ways because Mother had always been a faithful supporter of the work of Brazil. But at the cemetery, when we were getting ready to lower her casket into the ground, the Lord spoke to me and He said, here in Brazil, it's a soccer country. When they make a goal, everybody claps and everybody nearly goes wild. The Lord spoke and said, she's made her goal. She's now in my presence. And there at the cemetery, we begin to clap our hands and worship the Lord. The people looking on, they couldn't understand what was going on. The Catholic people that worked at the cemetery. Later they told people, they said, we don't understand those believers. When the people die, they clap their hands. But I'm glad we have a reason to clap our hands. I have two sisters. Neither one of my sisters served the Lord. After this ordeal was all over, I can look back and I can see the mercies of the Lord, because now I know that Mother will rise on that great day with the people she worked for 40 years to try to help support. In Brazil, right there, right behind our headquarters church, we're building a multi-purpose Bible college dormitories, and we're building them in memory of my mother. Mother loved to cook and loved for people to spend the night with her. So this would have been her project. And this is our grandson, Gabriel, that just had heart surgery. He's a real miracle. The doctor told me in the hospital of Illinois, he said, I have never, as long as I've been a heart surgeon, seen a hole in a person's heart as big as the hole in Gabriel's heart. He was in surgery for 10 hours. They told us he had a chance of 1 in a million to get the operation done here in the States, but that doesn't mean anything to God. When God's will is for something to happen, it works out. And the lady that's with the black and white blouse on, she was one of the ones that God used to help us get this operation for little Gabriel. This is when they brought him back from his operation. He was still unconscious in the last picture there. But here he'd already woke up. There's Marcella, Michael's wife. That's their oldest baby. He had asked me, because he was there when Mother passed away. He said, Grandma, if I die, will you buy me a white casket too so I can be like Grandma? And this is a little miracle there in Brazil, little Diane. She fell down there's many stairs there. She fell from the top to the bottom and broke her neck. But God healed her. She's a walking miracle. These are two boys that recently are converted, Brother Beto and Brother Cristiano. They both were dope pushers. They used dope. They were dangerous, dangerous bandits. But see, the Holy Ghost makes a difference. And the name of our church in Brazil is Cathedral of Praise. We have many, many reasons to praise the Lord. We take the light of the Lord to a very dark world over there. It's a very spiritist country. Many devil worshippers in Brazil. But see, God is greater than the devil worshippers. We have many strong works among children in Brazil, because I've lived long enough over there in Brother Alvear to see children grow up and become men and women and preachers and missionaries of the gospel. So we realize the importance of working with children. I told you that the ex-president's wife of Brazil came to our service. Well, there she is. In third world countries, the death rate is very high because we have open sewer. It runs through our big cities, through our small cities, through our villages. That's why we have so many diseases and dengue fever and yellow fever and all kinds of fevers. We just had one of the ladies in our church die just a couple weeks ago because of situations like this. It's just the circumstances that we face in third world countries. Brazil is a paradox. The rich and poor live all crowded together. Many of the beggars sleep on the streets, on the sidewalks, wherever. The children are the future of Brazil. That's why we work so much among the children. Here's where 13 children were repenting of their sins. If they don't hear about Jesus, their days fade into their nights, and time like a flood sweeps their souls away. This is the way they live, crowded together in the big cities like that. The building of churches never ceased in Brazil. I cannot remember in many years when we have been without a building project. We are always building churches in Brazil. Someone said, Sister Alviar, look at all of you that you've missed in the States. And I thought, well, what have I missed? A few trips to the mall, to Walmart, and some of the things that seem so important to our American ladies. But look at what I've gained. The thousands of souls. Once we were here in the States, and one of our pastors called, and he said, missionary, they call me missionary, tell Brother Alviar, Bishop, said, missionary, Sister Rita wants to talk to you, and she's dying. You must come fast. So Brother Alviar said, well, we'll cut our trip short. So we went back to Brazil. We didn't even go home. We went right by Sister Rita's house. We went in a little small hut where she lived. Excuse me. And there she was, lying on a bed. She was consumed by cancer. I sat down beside of her. I took her little hand in my hand. And she said these words to me. She said, missionary, I have faith if you prayed for me, I could be healed. She said, but I don't want to be healed. You told me about Jesus. She said, I want to go live where he lives. She said, I sent for you to come to this back to Brazil. She said, because I wanted to tell you something before I die. And I looked at her, withered, wasted away, and her voice was so weak. She said, thank you, missionary, for coming to Brazil. Thank you for telling me about Jesus. That meant more to me than all the trips that I could have ever made to Walmart and all the times I could have ever went to a mall to be out in their villages and tell them about a loving Savior. And then be with them when they pass from this world to the other world. I remember one night I was sitting at the little, what they call the watch. One of the little lepers passed away. And I was looking at his little body all withered and the signs of leprosy. Little plyboard casket. I said to the sister that was beside of me, Sister Sonia, I said, just think, he's lived in this, what they call the city of the dead. In the city of the dead all of his life. He never knew what it was to live outside of a leper colony. I said, can you imagine when he walks into God's city and he sees streets of gold and walls of jasper? And there he's not a second-class citizen anymore. And nobody's afraid of him because he's a leper. Because somewhere between this world and that world, he was healed of leprosy. Was transformed and changed. I said, I don't have any other desire but maybe to stand by heaven's gate and watch him walk in and see the smile. See how their eyes are going to shine. And they see a world they've never dreamed about. When they see Jesus face to face. I want you to know, my friend, it's been worth every sacrifice, if it could be called a sacrifice. I don't feel like I've sacrificed a thing. I've never lost the wonder that when I was just a child, 8 years old. See, I cannot say I had some pedigree or my father was a great minister or I came from some pedigree family in Pentecost. My daddy was a drunk. At 8 years old, sleeping in my bed with my sisters, I woke up and I saw Jesus standing in my room. I knew it was Jesus. He came and sat on my bed, and I felt him take his hand in mine, And he said these words to me. He said, when you graduate from high school, I want you to go to Brazil and be a missionary. I don't know if I even knew what a missionary was. I was just a child. But the next morning I told Mother, I said, Mother, Jesus called me to be a missionary. We walked to church because my daddy would drink and he would take the car. We got to church and my mother told my pastor, Janice said Jesus visited her last night and called her to be a missionary. And my pastor said these words, if she really saw Jesus and he really called her, she'll never forget. And I went through grade school and went through high school. I told everybody I'm going to be a missionary. In the year of 1968, in the month of May, I turned 18. I graduated from high school in the same month. In the month of June, I went to Brazil and have been there ever since. I have been richly blessed. In Brazil, God gave me a wonderful husband. He gave me a wonderful family. I have missed nothing in America. I have been richly blessed by being a missionary. I want to thank you once again for letting me come. I know when you don't really know people, you don't know if they're always really true blue. That's why I like to show slides so that people can see that there is a real work. I like for people to visit Brazil. I don't care if you come announced or unannounced. You'll see what you saw in the slides. There's nothing made up. It's just like you saw it. I feel an overwhelming thankfulness in my heart. I love Brazil. I love the people of Brazil. I love my children. I love my husband. Our son, Raul Jr., is the oldest. He called me the other night. And he said, Mother, I'm fulfilling your dream. I said, what is it, son? He said, I've got big machines that I've hired, and they're clearing the land to build a big campground. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He said, I don't know how I'm going to pay for it. He said, but I decided I'm going to be like you. Now, you don't know me. If it wasn't for Brother Alvear, I would probably live under a bridge. Money doesn't mean anything to me. I will tell you how God... Can I tell you just a little bit more? I just feel like telling these things. I don't know why. We had drove this old car here in the States, and everywhere we went, it broke down. And so someone said to me, Sister Alvear, many things depend on me because I'm American and I understand America. You need to get a better car. And I said, well, I don't know how we could do it. And so I was with one of my friends, and she said, oh, Sister Alvear, let's just stop at this car lot. Well, I said, okay, whatever. So we stopped at this car lot, and she said, let's look at these cars. And we started looking at these. You're going to see this car tomorrow. These Mercury Villagers. I didn't even know there was a thing called Mercury Villager until we stopped there, and she showed them to me. And so we was looking, and this big, tall salesman came out, and he said, can I help you ladies? And my friend said, yeah, she wants to buy a car. And I said, no, I don't. And the salesman said, well, we could just drive it around. And I said, oh, sir, if God wanted me to have this car, I wouldn't have to drive it around. It'd be a good car. And he said, well, let's just drive it around anyway. You know how salesmen are. And my friend punched me, and she said, let's get in. So we got in, and the salesman was driving around. Then he stopped, and he said, by this time he's asked me my name and all this kind of stuff. He said, now, Miss Alvear, won't you drive it? And I said, Oh, there wouldn't be any need for me driving it. I said, I'm just satisfied with you driving. He said, no. He said, let you drive. So I drove it around, and we went back to the car lot, and he said, well, how'd you like it, Miss Alviar? I said, it's just wonderful, but I'm just not going to buy a car today. I didn't have $2, let alone money to buy a car. Not that day I didn't. He said, well, Miss Alviar, he said, let's just go talk to the credit department. Now, I can give you names and addresses and people to call. You can verify what I'm telling you because I know you don't know me. So we went back to the credit department, and there sat this lady, and she had those reading glasses on, you know, those half glasses, you know, and she was just doing her work. And I sat down, and I didn't know what to say. And she said, you want to buy a car? And I looked at my friend, and I just grinned. She said, well, we have this questionnaire, and you have to answer these questions. Now, if you've ever bought something here in the States, you know it better than I do. That was about the first thing I ever bought here. Excuse me. And she said, ma'am, she said, who do you work for? I said, Jesus. I really did, because that's who I really work for. She kind of looked up over her glasses like this at me. But she wrote it down because I watched her. Jesus. She said, ma'am, by this time she knew I was a missionary. She said, most missionaries have a home here in the States. And she said, where do you live while you're here in the States? I said, oh, I just live wherever I'm at. Said, today I'm with this lady, visiting her and her family, and I live at her house. And tomorrow I'm going to Texas, and so tomorrow I'll live in Texas. That wasn't really what she wanted. She wanted a permanent address. I didn't have one to give her, not of a home. And so she said, ma'am, she said, do you have a co-signer? I said, no, just Jesus. She wrote it down. No, just Jesus. She said, do you declare American income tax? I said, no, ma'am. I've lived out of the States for 40 years. So she wrote, no, I didn't declare American income tax. So she said, ma'am, do you own anything? I said, no, not really. And then I remembered, I did own something. I own a cell phone. And I said, oh, yes, I do own something. I own this cell phone. I wasn't going to lie. I did own a cell phone. I do own a cell phone. She wrote that down. She owns a cell phone. She said, ma'am, could you give me the address of two preachers you know? I said, yes. I said, there's the lady that's with me, her brother-in-law pastors a church in Illinois, Grimsby, Illinois, just right down the road from there. And she punched me. She said, yeah, but he's not home. He's at Brother Bass's conference. I said, oh, but ma'am, he's not at home. And I said, oh, my pastor lives in Jonesville, Louisiana. And then it dawned on me it was firecracker season. They have a firework stand. I said, oh, but he's not at home either. She said, won't you go get you a Coke or something, come back in about 15 minutes. So we walked out, and my friend looked at me, and she said, you didn't have to be that honest. You'll never get a car being that honest. I said, well, I didn't lie. So in 15 minutes or so, we went back, and here's this big, tall salesman again. He's just waiting at the door. He said, oh, Miss Alviar, come back here. We have wonderful news for you. So I followed him back there, and there sits the lady again with her half glasses on. And she says, Miss Alviar, we had a little meeting while you was gone. Anybody as honest as you are wouldn't beat us out of a car payment. She said, we're going to sign, and Ford Motor Company and its employees here are going to sign as your whatever it is. We're going to sign for you. I said, do you mean that car is mine? She said, well, you're going to have to sign these papers, but the car is going to be yours. I said, oh, my. So I said, give them to me. I'll sign whatever. What am I supposed to sign? I signed these papers, and she said, now, where am I supposed to send this stuff to? I said, I'll just send it to my friend here. Just send it to her address. So I said, can I leave now? Is the car mine? And she said, Miss Alviar, she said, now, did you say you was going to Texas tomorrow? I said, yes, ma'am, I'm going to Texas. She said, we would like to fill up your car to help you get to Texas tomorrow. They took the car, they filled the car up. By this time, the salesman, he said, just stay around here, Miss Alviar. He went, drove to his house, brought his camera back. He said, I'm going to take your picture. And took my picture. But I want you to know that not 1 month did God not meet the need for that car. He paid the bill every month. Tonight it's paid off. It's got a lot of miles on it, but it's paid off. So that goes to show you, if you work for God, God opens doors. Yeah. Hallelujah. He just goes before. Now, there's a scripture that speaks about the foolishness of preaching. And it's not only the foolishness of preaching what they judge us by. That lady probably thought that day when she asked me, who do you work for? And I said, Jesus. She probably thought, this is the most foolish lady that's ever walked in here. But before it was over, I drove a brand new car off that car lot. Without a penny of money. See, God is that kind of a God. He's got blessings stored up. All you have to do is claim it. Say, God, I need it for your work. Now, if you want it for yourself, you receive not because you ask not, you receive not because you ask for your own. You ask to miss. You ask, you might consume it on your own lust. But see, if it's for God's work, and if God needs that car in his work, he knows how to open doors and make ways. You, if I told you things tonight, because you don't know me, but if I told you things, you wouldn't believe it. God has been so great. I've never, ever been a missionary for money. I go to churches and they say, Stab, well, we don't have anything to give you. I say, well, can I be a blessing at your place? Oh, yeah. Well, I'm coming. I want to be a blessing. Because I know all down the road, if I'm a blessing with all of my heart, without expecting anything in return, that when I need something, God's going to give it to me. And I needed something when that grandbaby needed that operation, Brother Rutledge. I needed something. That operation would have cost over $300,000. That's what the hospital told me. The hospital at first said they would do it for $10,000, and then they went on down to $5,000. They did everything, and they promised me, if he ever needs any other medical assistance, just bring him back. See, God is good. When I couldn't do it, God did it. So if you will give your life over to God, he will take care of you. That's what David knew about when he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What time is it? Oh, man. See, one story makes me want to tell you another one. There was this old lady in our church. She didn't know how to read or write, but she knew something. She'd come from idolatry, and she learned the 23rd Psalm. Every time she testified, she said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And one day she was leaving her house, and she said to her daughter, She said, you never know when this soul might want to leave this body of clay. In Brazil, it's obligation, it's customary. You take your documents everywhere. She was going to a little store. She put her documents in her little pocket of her skirt. And standing in line, she had a fatal stroke. They rushed her to emergency. They called us, called her family. Her family said, can Brother Alvear, our bishop, go in there? It was a Catholic hospital. There were nuns and priests and all kinds of people here and there. And they said yes, but she cannot hear. She can't. It's just a matter of time. She's just on machines. But I watched Brother Alvear through that little window, and he reached down and he said something to her, and I saw her shake her head like this. And the doctor said, she don't know what he's saying. That's just an involuntary reaction. When Brother Alvear came out, I said, honey, what did you say to her? He said, I said to her, Sister Amelia, is the Lord still your shepherd? She was crossing the valley, the shadow of death, but she wasn't alone. The shepherd was with her. See, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So may the Lord bless you. I just want to encourage you. If you don't know this shepherd, you can know him tonight. He's real. He's marvelous. It's a wonderful thing to know this shepherd that we know. May the Lord bless you. Thank you, Brother Rutledge, for letting us down.
Oh, hallelujah. Well, let's come to the front. I think this is a good time to give God praise. Amen. We have been blessed. We have been blessed. We have been blessed. Amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for what He has done for us. Amen. And what He is doing. Praise Him tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise and worship You. We magnify Your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God, we praise you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you tonight. We thank you tonight. We thank you tonight. We thank you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the power of God. By the power of God to save, to heal, to reach into these areas, Lord, where people are longing for help, longing for God, and to do the miracles that you do. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I want us to feel from this point forward that we're part of the work going on in Brazil. Because I've been online. I saw the spirit of this lady, and I've been casually acquainted with the family through the ministry of Brother Juan Abiar, who she informed me today. This is her husband's brother, who had been a blessing in my life, that he had passed away. But we love this family. We love the work of God they're doing. And we love what God is able to share with us tonight. Amen. And so we would like to continue to support the work in Brazil. And every month I would like to pledge to the people in this ministry that this church will take some time to remember the ministry there. And we will receive an offering and send it by the help of the Lord. How many of you would like to get in on that? Yes. Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. Brother Bradley, say whatever you feel.
Thank you very much for coming. It's been a blessing. You say that if you can just show up, you don't have to get anything for what you do. But you have blessed us so greatly. I don't want to speak for everybody else, but I want to speak for my heart. I appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate your work. I want to thank you for speaking to my heart tonight. I thank you for being honest, so very honest. And I know from what I've seen, I know the Lord will continue to bless you without a doubt, because you have showed us that He has blessed you. And I can't speak on behalf of the Lord, but I can speak on behalf of us. I was touched by your efforts, by your desires, and you've made an indelible mark in my heart. And I'll remember you. Brother Rutledge has mentioned your name before, and I was looking forward to meeting you. And I am so very blessed to have you here tonight.
Thank you,
amen. I think we ought to just thank the Lord again. One more time. Shall we? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Mighty God. Mighty God. Mighty God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Jesus, I'd like to just thank you, Lord, for all that you've given us tonight. Lord, for the faith that you've instilled in our hearts, Lord, for a desire to learn of you even a greater depth than we already know. Lord, become sensitive to you, Lord, with every part of us, that we might be able to hear your voice in the greatest of situations, Lord, and in the least of situations, God. To know with a surety that it is you that's speaking, God, and to move upon that, Lord, that someone somewhere would find what it is that we have, Lord, that we could give to them. Lord, a word of encouragement, a word of advice, Lord, and a name above every name that was able to help them from their situations. God, we thank you, Lord, for your ever-guiding presence, your strength, Lord, your ability to work in hearts that we don't even understand. God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy that has brought us to this point, and, Lord, that it is there for those that so desire it. Help us, Lord, to be attentive to you. God, help us to grow closer to you, to know your voice, to hear your heart. And all that we do, we give you the praise and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God.